This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala atamman al-akmalani khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in thumma amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dearest brothers and sisters. And this is now, subhanAllah, the 18th lesson in the tafsir of Surah Yusuf alayhi salam. And we'll be covering today, inshallah, verse number 58, 59, 60, up to 60 and including 62, inshallah. Actually, we'll do up to 63, inshallah. So, the story where we've got to now, the episode in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam with Imra'atul Aziz, the trial of temptation and the subsequent imprisonment that he faced, all that he went through, and now that's history. That's a memory. Times have changed, and they've changed a lot. Yusuf alayhi salam now is Aziz himself. Yeah, this is the state treasurer. Position number two in the whole country. He asked the king, when the king said, you can have whatever you want, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض, make me in charge of the storehouses, which meant the finances of the country. That's why we're calling him the state treasurer. So, remember the dream of the king? The dream of the king was that for the next 7 years, things are going to be going well. They should continue harvesting and farming just as normal, with one exception, which is to store as much as possible in these storehouses and eat a little ration, because that's going to happen for 7 years, and the next 7 years, well, it's going to be difficult. Famine, drought, a recession is going to kick in. So the idea was that Yusuf alayhi salam gave interpretation plus solution. We said that was like a financial rescue package, if you like, for the recession, which is in the 7 subsequent years, what you can do is you can survive on what you've stored. Yeah, we can survive on what you've stored. And that will take you all the way until the end of the recession, until the 15th year, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a lot to the country. So, this verse 58, وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ Yusuf, okay, now is the part where, what year is this, where the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam end up coming from Palestine all the way over to Egypt. This is now, Ibn Ashur said, in the 9th year. So 7 years have gone past where Yusuf alayhi salam has been in charge. And on the 8th year now, it's a recession. So 1 year of the recession passes by, and in the 9th year now, 2 years after the recession has started, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam are now coming back to Egypt. Why are they coming back to Egypt? Well, there's some things that you need to know here. The first thing is that the famine spread so far that it was now going outside of Egypt, and also it engulfed, if you like, Sham, Palestine. So people in that country are now also suffering from the recession. And they came to know that Egypt has this amazing scheme whereby they have these storehouses. And they already guessed that this is going to happen somehow. And they managed to come up with a way to survive. And on top of that, Egypt has, if you like, a food subsidy policy. People that want to come to us to get food, they can come. What we'll do is you bring what's called bid'a, we'll come to that word. You bring some commodities to Egypt, and for each person that comes, we will give them a jahaz, which is a camel load of foodstuff. Every person that comes, you can get one load of camel of food in return for some commodities. So this is, if you like, the setup. Famine is spread. Egypt is the only ones that have this way of dealing with it. And they also have a way of helping others, which is this subsidy policy. طيب. So let's read inshallah these verses before we explain them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجاء إخوة يوسف فدخلوا عليه فعرفهم وهم له منكرون ولما جهزهم بجهازهم قال أتوني بأخ لكم من أبيكم ألا ترون أني أوفي الكيل وأنا خير المنزلين فإن لم تأتوني به فلا كيل لكم عندي ولا تقربون قالوا سنراود عنه أباه وإنا لفاعلون وقال لفتيانه اجعلوا بضاعتهم في رحالهم لعلهم يعرفونها إذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم لعلهم يرجعون فلما رجعوا إلى أبيهم قالوا يا أبانا منع منا الكيل فأرسل معنا أخانا نكتل وإنا له لحافظون
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, we all know how the story of Yusuf alayhi salam concludes. And even though we know how it concludes, we still feel the anticipation and the excitement at where it's going to go now. You know, the reunion of the family is just around the corner. And though we know it's going to happen, the way the story pans out and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells it, you know, always is a pleasure to read and a joy to hear. So this part now, 58, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ That the brothers of Yusuf came into his presence. So it means that they traveled all the way from Palestine and now they've come to Egypt. All of them except for Binyamin. Okay, Binyamin. So there's 10 of them and they've come. Remember what we said that the program that they had in Egypt was that every person that comes will get one load of jahaz, yeah, camel load of goods, in exchange for some commodities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that now the brothers are coming. فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ And they enter upon him. And that sets the scene, if you like, of, you know, who's in charge and who's the one on the lower hand. That they are now coming to him. And now they enter upon him. You know, you can just imagine Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, his position, the way he must have been dressed like, where he must have been, the respect that he's getting from everybody. So they're entering upon him like they're entering upon a king. You know, like they're entering upon a king. So they're now in his presence. And look, subhanAllah, how the situation has changed. They left him for dead, fi ghayabatil jubb, at the bottom, at the very bottom of this pit, this well. That's the last of him that they saw. They left him for dead, and now they're coming back to him. Okay? He went from a well, and now look at his position that he is in. And what is amazing is that when they left him for dead in the well, remember what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that he consoled Yusuf alayhi salam and said, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ That Allah said, and we revealed to Yusuf alayhi salam that for sure you will inform them of this matter right here whilst they لا يشعرون, that they won't have any idea whatsoever. Remember we spoke about how Allah didn't say وَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, that they won't know what's going on. Allah said they won't perceive, have any idea what's going on. That was the promise Allah made there. And this is the actualization of that promise. That now when they come, Allah says that they entered upon him, فَعَرَفَهُمْ, and he recognized them straight away. He saw them and he knew straight away that they are my brothers. Can you just imagine how he must have felt? Mixed feelings, emotions. Maybe vengeance, yeah? Maybe amazement. Who knows? I mean, just put yourself in that situation. How would you have felt towards those people who left you for dead, who hated on you, were so jealous of you, wanted to kill you? Now you're seeing them. So Allah says, فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. But those 10, let's imagine there's 10 of them, وَهُمْ they لَهُ regarding him مُنْكِرُونَ. They had no idea it was Yusuf alayhi salam. No idea whatsoever. There's a number of reasons why that could be. First of all, he's grown so much now. As some said, it was around 40 years had passed. So he's become a man now. He's no longer a boy. Qurtubi mentioned that he must have been dressed in a particular way, particular attire, and that kind of, kind of disguised who he was. You couldn't really tell even if you looked at him properly. But Ibn Ashur mentioned something quite amazing. He said that, first of all, what we heard in the story is that every single person who meets Yusuf alayhi salam never forgets him. Isn't that true? Rewind back to Aziz. When he sees Yusuf alayhi salam as a young boy, he goes straight home and he says, Akrimi Mathwa. This one's special, look after this one. He doesn't forget him. Then later on, we have the Niswa, those women. Yeah, those women. When Yusuf alayhi salam goes into prison and then he comes out, and the king calls women and they say, tell me what happened about you cutting your hands, and tell me about Yusuf alayhi salam. They say, we don't know anything evil to do with him whatsoever. They vouch for who he is in his character. It's like, we know that one, and for sure, there's nothing that he's ever done wrong. So every person who meets him always remembers him. But Allah says here, the brothers, they had no idea who it was. How comes? That's strange. Everybody remembers him, but the brothers, they don't remember him. And they're brothers. How comes? And the other thing Ibn Ashur mentioned is, look at the verse. If you split the verse in half, what you find is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعَرَفَهُمْ, and he recognized them. And that sentence is what's known as a verbal sentence. فَعَرَفَ is a verb, yeah, that he noticed them, he recognized them. But when Allah spoke about the brothers, he spoke about them using a nominal sentence, جُمْلَ إِسْمِيَّ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. And he said there's a big difference between a verbal noun and a nominal, a verbal sentence and a nominal sentence. Difference is this, a noun versus a verb. A verb, past tense, present tense, is caged by time. It happened at a particular time. Another thing about a verb is that if you mention a verb, not only does it talk about when it happened in the past or in the present or maybe even the future, it's also reflecting of something that may have happened just like that. Yeah, it happened once. Okay, an instant of something. As opposed to a noun, it's not caged by time. A book is a noun. A book will always be a book, in the past, now, in the future. Yeah. So Allah said about Yusuf alayhi salam, فَعَرَفَهُمْ, using a verb as if to say, as soon as he saw them, he knew right away who it was. As for the brothers, well, they never had any idea, even if they looked at him and glanced at him and analyzed who this man was, they would never be able to work out who it was. You know, and the why that is because Allah told us that Yusuf alayhi salam, the way things are going to come back around, is that they're going to come and they're not going to have any idea what's going on. Yeah, it's quite amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said that statement. وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. The other interesting thing is that Yusuf alayhi salam has got the prime opportunity to round them up, seize them, bring him to the back and get them beaten up, maybe imprisoned or maybe even killed. He's got the power to do that, right? He could do anything he wants. But he doesn't. He just holds back. He just holds back. And now when he's holding back, he makes a plan. Yeah? He makes a plan that he wants to have his family with him, all of them. So he's making a plan. And he doesn't attack. The next verse, وَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ قَالَ أَتُونِي بِأَخٍ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ. So the brothers, okay, and Yusuf alayhi salam, who they only see as Aziz, they start having a conversation. What's the conversation? It's not mentioned, it's left to our imagination. But one thing Allah says is that فَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ, that when or after Yusuf alayhi salam, he fills up their camel loads. Yeah, jahaz jahaz refers to goods that a person travels with or travels in search of. So they've come in pursuit of these goods. They've traveled. So Allah refers to that as jahaz. فَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ, Yusuf alayhi salam, he loads up that jahaz onto their camels. So after that happens, he says to him, bring me your brother from your father, meaning your half-brother. So something's happened. The conversation has led in such a direction that he learns, supposedly, that they have another brother they haven't brought. So how did that happen? Some scholars explain that what happened is a conversation takes place, and the brothers, they say, look, there's 10 of us, and that means we're going to get 10 camel loads. But there's actually 11 brothers. There's another one. We left him at home. We couldn't bring him. So can we also have his share? Yeah. So فَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ, when after Yusuf alayhi salam gives them 11 instead of 10, he gives them more. Because they're asking for it. Then he says, okay, now I'm going to tell you to do something. Bring me that brother of yours that you just mentioned. Bring me that brother. Meaning, I know next year is going to be famine as well. I know because of the dream. So you're going to be coming back here next year. So when you do, just so I know that you guys aren't lying, bring him to me. Okay? So do you see already the plan is coming into play? So he's already told them, bring me that other brother next year when you come back. Naam. Walamma. Afan. Made a mistake there. Walamma jahazum. So after telling them, bring me your brother from your father, he then does three things. He encourages them or entices them to bring that brother along next year. He threatens them that if they don't, there's going to be consequences. And he encourages them again, but not by words, rather through action. Yeah, so he uses words to incite them, entice them rather. And then he uses words to threaten them, but then he uses some action, okay, to entice them again. So as for the first, he says to entice them, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنِّي أُوفِ الْكَيْلِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ. That don't you all see that as for me, I, أُوفِ الْكَيْلِ, that I gave you the maximum that you guys could have got. Yeah, I filled up your loads more than even I should have. Yeah, I've completely filled the measure when it came to your kale. And on top of that, أَنَا خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ. On top of that, I'm the best of munzilin. Munzilin comes from the root of nuzl. Nuzl refers to giving food to the guest. Yeah. So he says, not only did I give you everything that you came and asked for, but I hosted you better than anybody else. Yeah, I hosted you on a khayr al-munzilin. I've done, you know, fairly good job in hosting you guys. I took care of you, gave you whatever you wanted. So I hosted you in such a good way as well. So obviously, he's relating this to them in order to make them feel like, you know what, look how much he's done for us. We better listen to him next year. Why is Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, really encouraging them with, if you like, so much? So many words, so many statements. He's going to say a threat after this as well. And then he's going to encourage them again through some action. Why do you think he's Why don't you just leave it at that? Look, next year, you're going to come back, bring me your half-brother. Why is he going a step further by saying, look, look at what I've done for you guys. I've been so good to you. And then after this, he's going to threaten them by saying that, by the way, if you don't bring him to me, then don't bother coming back here. Why? Why do you think that is? No. They're going to come back regardless. Because that's the only place they can go to get some, to get their supplies. Because everyone's suffering. He wants the dream to be fulfilled. No, that's true. But obviously there's a process that he's going to go through, a plan he's going to make. And part of that plan is to ensure that at least his half-brother comes next year, Binyamin. Yeah? So he could have just said, bring Binyamin next year. Yeah? But instead of saying that, he goes the extra mile by encouraging them, threatening them. Why? It's quite obvious, it's not a difficult question. Yeah. He doesn't trust them. It's true he doesn't trust them, but he knows they're going to come back either way. That's right, it's going to be difficult. Fadl. Bismillah. They know that, he knows that, Yaqub alayhi salam, father, he's not going to let this happen. True or not? It's going to be very, very difficult for them to get Binyamin to come along next year. Very difficult. Almost impossible. Why would dad let this other one go? When the last time he let one go, he never came back. True or not? So that's why he's really going for it. Okay, so he says, أَنَا خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ I'm the best of those, you know, that honor their guests in this way. Next verse, verse 60. فَإِن لَمْ تَأْتُونِي بِهِ فَلَا كَيْلَ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي وَلَا تَقْرَبُونَ Now if you don't bring him next year, what that means, well, it could mean that you guys are lying. Yeah, so this year you took extra by telling me you had another brother out there, and if you don't bring him next year, then it means you're lying. Yeah. So that's why he says, فَلَا كَيْلَ لَكُمْ Then there's going to be no kale, there's going to be no supplies for you next year whatsoever. عِنْدِي from me. But then they're thinking, well, if you can't get it from him, we could go to somebody else maybe, you know. Egypt's a big place. So he says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُونَ Don't bother coming back here. Meaning, this country, okay, you can't come back anywhere to this country. You think you can get it from somebody else? Don't even think that. So he's threatening them. Don't come here. You don't bring your brother. You're not going to get nothing from me. And in fact, you can't even come into Egypt. Okay. So using what they call a carrot and stick approach. Yeah, he's giving them some incentive. And also at the same time, he's giving them warning as well. Next verse. قَالُوا سَنُرَاوِدُ عَنْهُ أَبَاهُ وَإِنَّا لَفَاعِلُونَ Then they respond. قَالُوا سَنُرَاوِدُ عَنْهُ أَبَاهُ They say, we will do murawada. Remember Imra'atul Aziz? She spoke about, Allah said that, she tried to do murawada on Yusuf alayhi salam. Murawada, we said, it means to try and bring somebody else around to your type of thinking. For Imra'atul Aziz, that was to try and seduce Yusuf alayhi salam. His irada was, I'm not going to do anything. Her irada was that she wants to do something. And murawada meant that she's going to try and make his irada like her irada. Now the brothers are going to do murawada on their father. They're going to try and bring him round to accepting their request, which is to let Binyamin go with them next year. So they say, سَنُرَاوِدُ عَنْهُ أَبَاهُ We're going to try, you know, with our father. Already those words indicate how difficult it's going to be for them. And then they say, وَإِنَّا لَفَاعِلُونَ And indeed, lam of tawkid, we're surely going to do it. Yeah. So do you see how the sentence, you know, is kind of begins with them saying, we're going to try. And then they say, no, we're not going to try. We're going to definitely do this. إِنَّا لَفَاعِلُونَ We're definitely going to do this. So it's like, you know, the talking up to Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf gives them an order, and they say, we're going to try. No, we're going to try. We're going to do it. Don't worry. Whatever you want. Okay? No problem. Aziz Sab, you know, if that's what you want, no problem. Inna la fa'ilun. We'll do that. No problem. So it's quite ajeeb how the tables have turned. Now they're taking orders from Yusuf alayhi salam, and they're behaving in this way towards him. Next verse. وقال لفتيانه اجعلوا بضاعتهم في رحالهم لعلهم يعرفونها إذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم لعلهم يرجعون. So he's made it clear to them. You're going to go back to Egypt, Palestine, come back next year, bring the other brother. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, what he does is he tells his fitya, which are his male young servants. Okay, he's Yusuf alayhi salam now has a big position. So he has many, many servants. And he tells some of them, اجعلوا بضاعتهم. Put their bida'a. Bida'a, what we said was, refers to sellable commodities, sellable goods. So they brought bida'a with them in order to exchange for the jahaz, right? They've already exchanged it. So they've given it. They take it and give us the food. They made the exchange already. Now Yusuf alayhi salam tells his servants that, look, see that commodities that they gave? Put them in their rihal. Yeah? Their rihal refers to, you know, the saddle that you have on a camel? The saddle? On the side of the, on the saddle, it has these, pockets to put luggage in. Yeah? So what he says to them is, take this that they gave us now and put it back inside their camels, inside the saddle of the camels. Why is Yusuf alayhi salam telling him to do that? Sorry, my laptop has just died. Now, وَقَالِ فِتْيَانِهِ اِجْعَلُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا إِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that, okay, perhaps, يَعْرِفُونَهَا, that when they do get back home, okay, which means that he's going to tell the servants to do this in a way that they're not going to even know what's going on. That by the time they get home and they unpack, they're going to see the bida'a that they took back into their own luggage, meaning it's been given back to them. So they will recognize that. إِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And seeing that will make them perhaps come back, meaning come back next year. So remember what I said? I said that he entices them with words, he threatens them with words, and then he entices them once again through action. Yeah. So of course, when they go back and they see the things that they sold, are back with them again, they're going to be amazed. How comes he's given them back to us? He must be an incredibly generous and honorable person. Look at the way he's treating us. You know, how could we even think about not complying with what he said? But there's another reason as well. Why do you think that Yusuf alayhi salam told his servants to give back the bida'a to them? Why? Besides the fact that he wants to show them that he's a generous person and they should show shukr to that generosity by coming back next year with their brother. Why else do you think he's given the bida'a back to them? Yeah. Yes. So they would feel honored by Yusuf alayhi salam for returning back and giving them stuff for free. Oh, they'll feel that they need to go back and give it. No, because this is going back to their country, they won't come all the way back just to give it. They'll realize, يَعْرِفُونَهَا, what's going on. What's going on is that they've just been given back everything and been given food for free. That's what they're going to realize. So why did Yusuf al-Islam give it back to them? Yeah, yourself. Ah, mashallah. Okay, I haven't thought of that. A galaxy for you. Bismillah. So this is one possibility that when they do come back, you know, the brothers aren't known for their honesty, right? True or not? They're not known for their honesty. So when they come back and tell Dan, oh, do you know this Aziz, he's so generous and he's, you know, he was so fantastic the way he treated us and everything. And he just said, you know, bring back the other one as well and he's going to give us so much more things. And he is really a generous person. Can you prove that, please? No, I can't really prove that. Whoa, Yusuf alayhi salam has already thought that might happen. And so he's given them proof. MashaAllah, it's very good, akhi. There's another reason as well. Yes, Anas. Return sooner. Wallahu alam, it seems like it's going to be 1 year. They give them enough for 1 year and they only allow people to come back once a year. Yes. This is what the brother mentioned in the beginning. But the reality is that they know when they see the bid'ah back with them that it's a gift. They know that. It's not that, oh, something's gone wrong here, we managed to get things for free, oh no, we better give this back. It's true, but this is what we mentioned already, that they will feel like, man, we need to definitely go back. Look what he's done, he's given us all for free. Yes, Akhi. It is to sway Yaqub alayhi salam. That's the very obvious one. Yeah, that's obvious. We already settled that. It's about persuading Yaqub alayhi salam and helping them persuade Yaqub alayhi salam. But there's more to it than that. Not to, okay, what do you mean by that? Not to put them through difficulty?
If they have their goods, they could still, if they do go through difficulty,
yeah,
they could use those goods later as well.
Ahsant, mashallah, tabarakallah. Say mashallah, brothers. Mashallah. The reality is if they give their bida'ah now, and next year there's going to be a famine, next year comes, khalas, even if we want to go, we can't, we got no bida'ah to go with. We've got nothing to go and exchange with. So Yusuf alayhi salam is already thinking ahead, wallahu alam, that next year, even though they may want to come, they've got nothing to come with. So that's why I'm telling my servants, go and put this bid'ah back inside their rihal, inside their luggage. Okay, so that next year when it comes down to it, they have something to bring back. It's quite amazing, the planning, behind what Yusuf alayhi salam is doing. And all of this, subhanAllah, is from the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَلَمَّا رَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِمْ قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا مُنِعَ مِنَّ الْكَيْلِ.
So what do you know? فَلَمَّا رَجَعُوا. So when they do come back, okay, to their father, قَالُوا, they say, يَا أَبَانَا, O our father, مُنِعَ مِنَّ الْكَيْلِ. مُنِعَ مِنَّ الْكَيْلِ, as if they're saying that our next year's supplies already been denied. That statement expresses alarm and it also expresses certainty, because they're saying it in the past tense. Muni'a, prevented. What has been prevented? Our kale, our food stuff for next year, our ration. What do you mean? It's certainly going to be the case next year. Except فَأَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا أَخَانَا. Except if you send with us our brother. Yeah, our brother. If you do, نَكْتَلْ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, then we will be able to take that measure next year. And by the way, Dad, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed, when it comes to him, we are حافظون, protectors. We'll take care of him, we'll look after him. Does that sound similar? Very similar. Almost deja vu. Dad's thinking, what? This is the second time this is happening to me. Are you being serious? He's seriously telling me that let go of this one now and send him with you. But the thing is, subhanAllah, there's two ajeeb things here. The first is that the next verse is the verse in which they unpack their luggage and find the bid'ah. Yeah? Now the thing is, if you come back from a long journey, okay, what's one of the first things you do? You take your luggage out, okay, and you unpack. And then you have a conversation with people, yeah? Usually, this is what you do. But the first thing they do is not unpack. The first thing they do is go straight to Dad and say, Dad, musiba, next year, nothing for us. Unless you send the brother, our brother, with us in order to get the measure. That's the first interesting thing. That look how effective the plan of Yusuf alayhi salam was. Ajib. That's the first thing they did, is to go to Dad and start to persuade and pressure him. The second ajib thing is the way they spoke was very different to the way they spoke once upon a time when it came to Yusuf alayhi salam. See, the first time they came to Dad and said this, they spoke very differently. They said, فَأَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدَيْ يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ. They said, send him with us in order that we will يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ. يَرْتَعْ, one explanation was that we're going to have loads to eat. Okay, we're just going to feast. وَيَلْعَبْ, and we're going to play. We're going to have games and we're going to enjoy ourselves. Send him with us, okay, so we'll have a fantastic time. That's what they said the first time. This time round, okay, what did they say? They make the case in the opposite way. They don't say send Binyamin with us, because if we don't, we're not going to get our food next year. They say the opposite way. No food for us next year unless our brother is sent with us. So what is the difference here is that they're making, the language has changed. The way they're speaking has changed. Why? Because this time is genuine. Last time it was a lie. So even in the language, we can see that there is a noticeable difference. And Ya'qub alayhi salam, he sees that in the way they speak. Okay, he sees that in the way they speak, that they're not speaking in the same way anymore. When they came the first time, it was all about, oh, send our brother with us so we'll have a fantastic time. This time is not send our brother with us so we can get food. This time is different. The way they're speaking, they're saying, oh, nothing for us next year, big problem, unless you can send the brother with us. So there's a change in the language there. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Indeed, we are people that will protect him. Last verse. قَالَ هَلْ آمَنُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا كَمَا أَمِّنْتُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Here now, Ya'qub alayhi salam, okay, subhanAllah, he becomes naturally angry. Okay, he becomes angry with that request. He says, هَلْ آمَنُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Do you expect me, okay, to trust you with him, except in the way that I trusted you with his brother? Min qabl, from before. As if Ya'qub alayhi salam, do you think I'm going to do the same thing again that I did before, to trust you with him again? So here, you know what, subhanAllah, I think I missed one verse here. No, we haven't. So Ya'qub alayhi salam, here, subhanAllah, he becomes angry. Okay, he says, do you think I'm really going to trust you like I trusted you with his brother from before? فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. Then he says, but the reality is that Allah is the best of those حَافِظًا, that protects. So now it's like he's calmed down. He says, it's true, I'm angry with what you've just asked me. But the reality is that Allah is the one who protects. Yeah, Allah is the best of protectors. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And he is the one who has the most and ultimate rahmah from those that can have rahmah towards others. This is where we'll stop in terms of the story. But now reflecting over the story, there's one lesson here. Yusuf alayhi salam, when he said to the brothers that, don't you see that I have made full your measures, and ana khayrul munzilin, I am the best of hosts. One of the scholars, Al-Aiz ibn Abdul Salam, he said, this teaches us that honoring the guests is a prophetic tradition. That prophets, this is the way they always were. When they had guests come to them, to their houses, that they would honor them. Yeah. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, when those angels came to visit him, he didn't know they were angels, he thought they were just strangers. But when they came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَجَاءَ بِعِجَلٍ سَمِينَ. That he brought them out, عِجَل سَمِينَ, which is a fat roasted calf. You know, and that's like the most expensive type of dish you could serve your guests. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was like this, Yusuf alayhi salam was like this, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us in a hadith sahih that مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, meaning that what I'm going to say next is a matter of religion. It's not just something nice for you to do. It's a religious commandment. What is the commandment? To honor your guests. To honor your guests. Let's just think about that for a moment. Okay? The prophets were like this. We've been commanded to be like this with our guests. But you know what? In the times that we live in, especially here in the UK, the British culture is you know, people are quite reserved when it comes to, you know, British people. They're very reserved. There's not much you know, visiting like there is in maybe the Indo-Pak subcontinent. People visit each other a lot. You know, I know that, you know, some of my relatives, the idea of visiting, you know, for example, in the Gujarati community, it's a big thing. You know, you could have what they call a dawat nearly every week or maybe every day. I know one of my friends is always complaining that, oh, you know, I want to go to this class, I want to this, but my mum and dad always say, no, you can't go, you got dawat around auntie's house tomorrow. Yeah? And he goes, it's a big mushkila, because if you don't go, then they say, why didn't he come? And why didn't he come? Oh, he doesn't care anymore. Yeah, it's a big deal. Compare that to our culture, in the, you know, people that have been born and brought up here, is very much reserved. Yeah, and the other thing is that not only is it reserved, it's become kind of unknown that, you know, you invite people around your house, treat them really well. In fact, some people don't even like people come around the house. They get agitated. Oh God, who's at the door? You know, and when they do come in, you know, it's like, try and get them out as quick as possible. And when it comes to serving them, you know, you open your fridge, you got your fresh juice there, and you got your preservative one in the corner. They're given the cheap one. Take out the cheap biscuits as well. Don't give them those crisps, give them those crisps over there. You know, the whole concept is upside down. You know? But subhanAllah, the deen told us to honor our guests. And honoring the guest is not just about giving them really good food. It's about making them feel honored. Yeah? Hosting them. And a khayrul munzileen is a good host. And Yusuf alayhi salam is saying, I'm the best of people that host. And when I read this, I remembered a story, something that, yani a story. And I went to Pakistan. We went, me and my family, on a like a road trip to what they call Mari. It's like a holiday resort in the mountains. Now on the journey to this place, my uncle was with us. He had a friend who actually lived in a village on the way, in the mountains. And he said, we're going to stop there for a day. I was young, it was my brother, mum and dad, we all went there. Then we got into the village and we met my uncle's friend. We straight away saw that where they live, okay, very primitive, you know. They're very poor people. And the first thing that we thought was, oh my God, we've got to stay here. But what we were amazed with is the way they treated us. They'd never seen us before. But him, his mum and his dad who were living there, they told us, firstly, these are our rooms and you're going to be staying in our rooms. We said, where are you going to be staying? They said, don't worry about us. And in the night time, we found out that they went and stayed at a neighbor's house. And when they fed us, subhanAllah, until we couldn't eat anymore. And we were amazed, because for us, it was really strange. Yeah. And what made it even more strange is that they're so poor. You felt bad eating all this food. You're thinking, where are they going to eat? You know, but this is what we have been asked of in our religion. You know, that's their culture, and may Allah reward them. But what we have been commanded by the Prophet ﷺ is فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ, to really host your guest. It's not just about giving them good food. It's about honoring them so they feel, you know what, they actually like me here. They want me to be here. Yeah, it's not a chore for me to come round their house and, you know, small talk and, you know, hurry up and get out now, please. No, they actually make me feel like, you know, welcome, warm. And so, in part of being a good host is giving good food. Also, being part of a good host is entertaining the guests, looking after them, and making them feel welcome. Yeah? So, yani, this is like a small dars that we learn from Yusuf alayhi salam, that we should all, you know, try and increase in the number of people that we invite around our house. And when we invite them around our house, give them the best foods that we have, not the cheapest ones. And also, it's not just about food, okay? It's about having good conversation with them, making them feel welcome, and honoring them, okay? And if you did this, Allah will reward you. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you. There's many, many benefits of doing this. Yeah, there's many, many benefits of having this type of tradition. You benefit from their company, they benefit from your company. You learn things from each other, and it increases the brotherhood and the sisterhood. okay, in the community. And this all comes together to make a stronger, you know, community as well. So, and this is one thing that we learn from Yusuf alayhi salam. Inshallah, we'll finish the dars here. Subhanakallahumma wa hamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.